Ephesians chapter 4. And Brother White's going to come and speed them up for us, so we really couldn't do that if you'd like. Ephesians 4. And I've asked several men to read some Bible verses. And when we come to those Bible verses, my memory problems, I can't remember exactly who I asked. And even if I do remember who I asked, I don't remember the verse I gave you. So you know the verse I gave you, and I will tell you the verse, like Hebrews 12, whatever it is. And if that's your assigned verse, just stand up and read it good and loud, if you would, gentlemen. Okay, are you in Ephesians 4? Amen. Amen. Verse 29. And verse 29, okay. Ephesians 4, 29, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And here's my text. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time, Lord. What an honor it is, what a privilege it is to stand behind a pulpit and preach the word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the trust that the pastor put in me, allowing me to do this, Lord. I do not take it lightly. I pray that your spirit would first cleanse me, fill me, and use me to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, the title is Grieve Not, Quench Not. And we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit tonight. Now, that's not a swear word. I know we're in a Baptist church, all right? But we can say Holy Spirit. We can, Brother Duffy, we can even say Holy Ghost. Now, I know it sounds strange, but practice. Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
One more time.
Holy Ghost.
Okay, now we're not going to say hallelujah and go crazy, but we can use Holy Ghost. It's a Bible word. And don't let the charismatics steal our joy. We had the Holy Spirit before they did. In fact, I've talked to some of those charismatics. They got a spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Believe me. But anyway, verse 30 tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go back, you want to take the time and read back up in the chapter, the verses that come before that tells us that by avoiding certain practices that we can know that we please him, that we can know that we please God. And I don't know about you, brother, but I get excited just thinking about pleasing God. And I've often prayed, Lord, I want to please you, but show me something I can do. And you know what he showed me? He showed me his book. And we just believe it and put it into practice, we'll find a lot of things that we can do or not do, and we can know in that moment that we are pleasing God. So let me encourage you to get in the Word of God and to study the Word of God. And so what grieves the Holy Spirit? Well, look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. Now, I know this is written to other churches and other people, not us. Okay. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I was interviewed by a federal investigator. I'm not in any trouble. It's a job interview. And they're doing a background check on me. And I told her, this is going to be the most boring background check you ever had. I've had one wife. I lived in only two houses in the whole time I've been in Sierra Vista, you know. Had one job, pastoring a church, you know. And everybody I put down was a reference to my church, so that's all I know. Because the church is my family. And I don't have friends outside of the church. Now, it's okay if you have some, as long as they're good friends and not influence you for evil. But in that, I had to raise my right hand. And you know what I had to do? I swear or affirm that I would tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Folks, I've been a pastor that the whole truth is the part we leave out. You can deceive. You can tell the truth, Brother White, and deceive because you don't tell the whole truth. Don't just throw that out. That was free advice. So we know that lying grieves the Holy Spirit. Anger grieves the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, giving place to the devil. Now, that's not talking about a geographical location, rather. It's talking about giving the devil an occasion to act in our life. When a person gets all wrapped up and acts out of emotion instead of reason, they are in a very, very dangerous place. Because it can be very easy for Satan to slip on there, and you give him place. You give him occasion to act in your life. So be very sure that we want to be very sure that we are acting in the will of God, or we may find ourselves up to an attack from Satan because we have given him place. We give him an opportunity. Stealing, laziness, language that does not edify or build up another person. And these will all grieve the Holy Spirit. And Brother White, I do remember you. Hebrews 12:15, if you would, please. And if you'll turn there and read that. Is that Hebrews 12:15? Did I say 25? Sometimes I speak wrong because of my memory.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Okay. Now, folks, if you do not learn to forgive people, you are going to become bitter. And I like to equate bitterness to acid reflux. What? Yeah. It sours your outlook on everything. If you've ever had acid reflux, you know what I'm talking about. It will sour your look on everything. Have you ever thought about this? If you're full of bitterness, have you ever lost a night of sleep because you're thinking about somebody else clear on the other side of town? You know what that other person on the other side of town is doing? Sleeping nice and sound. You're the one whose sleep has been ruined because of the bitterness. And we've got to get over that. We have to pray. Pray for people who's hurt us. We need to pray for their good and actually mean it. Wrath, anger, clamoring. We can go on and on and on. All these things grieve the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you have any ill will or desire to injure another person or to bring trouble into another person, then that is malice. And that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And so what's the cure? Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be ye kind one to another. Folks, often over the years, somebody will leave a church or something, and then the other church members will come, oh, I saw so-and-so in the store. How should I act toward them? What should I do? What should I say? I say, look, listen to me. It doesn't matter. It's always right to be polite. It's always right to be polite to somebody. You don't have to like somebody, be polite to them. But it's always right to be polite. And if somebody's injured you in your personal life, you run into them in the store, it's always right to be polite. So just remember that. It's always right to be polite. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How many of you are glad God has forgiven you?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, I know where I'd be. I'd be dead and in hell if God hadn't forgiven me by this stage in my life. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, folks, that's a command. That's not a request. That's not a suggestion. That's not point number 7 in the 10 ways to get manipulate God. You can't manipulate God. This is a command that we are to forgive other people. Forgive them. I don't know about you, but I take pleasure in the fact that God has forgiven me. But folks, God not only forgave me, he was eager to forgive me. He made all the provisions for me to be saved, all the provisions for you, brother, to be saved before you even knew his name. In fact, before you even were thought of. 2,000 years ago, Christ died on a cross and rose again on the third day so that we might have forgiveness. And God delights in forgiving us. It is his goal. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why was he seeking and saving, looking for the lost? To save them. That means to forgive them. And God is eager to forgive us. And folks, apply that to your life right now. Just how well do you forgive? If I could conjure up somebody's name, and I don't know who people in your lives, and if the mere mention of their name raises your blood pressure 10 points, I would venture to say you probably have not forgiven them. You may have said you've forgiven them, but I don't think you have truly forgiven them. I know we're not like God and we're not perfect, and our forgiveness cannot be perfect like his forgiveness is perfect. But folks, we ought to have a desire. Listen, Jesus took pleasure in forgiving us. Now, how many of you really like to forgive other people? A little test. See if you take pleasure in forgiving or if you do it begrudgingly. If somebody really, truly hurts you, they offend you, and they hurt you, and then later on they come to you and ask your forgiveness, do you humbly accept their apology and forgive them, or do you make them grovel first? You know what it means to make somebody grovel, right? Do you really mean that? Of course, you know what you did was wrong. You know that you hurt me, right? And you make them grovel. You make them beg and beg and beg. Or do you happily forgive them? Is Mrs. Hush in here? Or is she out? Oh, she's over there. Okay. I think we ought to have an invitation right there. Because, folks, Ms. Dawson, I don't always forgive people easily. And yet I'm supposed to be anxious and eager to forgive people. I tell by looking at your faces, a couple of you are holding some grudges. Remember what I said about acid reflux? It's going to sour your outlook on everything. So, folks, are we absolutely eager to forgive somebody? I didn't say it'd be easy, and I'm struggling right now to forgive somebody something terrible, horrendous that they did. But, you know, I'm getting there with God's help. You know how I pray for somebody that offends me? And I'm not bragging on myself, please don't think that. But this is what I do. First, I get mad and I ask God, you know, spiritually speaking, you know, how we are. God, this is going to hurt your cause. Father, you know, please do whatever it takes to make them do right, even if it means kill them. Now, it took me a while to get to what I really intended. And what I wanted to do start out by saying, God, kill them. But that didn't sound very spiritual. So we'll put a whole long preface in front of that. Do whatever it takes. Well, what an excuse. How about this? Why don't you pray, God, would you forgive them? And would you bless them? Now, what I have to do right about then is, Father, you know I didn't mean that. I'm lying. Would you kill them? And then, oh, Father, help me get over that. And Lord, please help me to forgive them and bless them. You know, if you do that long enough, one time you're going to be praying that prayer. It may be the 15th time that you prayed that prayer. But then you're going to say, Father, please bless them. And it's going to dawn on you. I mean it, Brother White. I want you to bless them, God. And now I have been freed from the bitterness, and I've totally forgiven them. But see, that was God changing me. It wasn't God changing the circumstance. It wasn't God changing them. It was God changing me. And we need to be eager to forgive. And folks, why don't you think about back in your life, and just not right now, but take a few moments and think about the people in your lives, and have you forgiven folks who have... I know you've all been offended. You've all been hurt. Listen, if you're over the age of 25, you've been betrayed, you've been injured. I had a guy I thought was a good friend of mine one day, showed up at my door, knocked on doors. It happened to be payday. Usually, when I was young and single, you know, man, I lived for payday. I'd go cash the check on the way home. This time I didn't do it, fortunately. He knocked on my door and he asked to borrow some money. Oh, you know, I would have gave him, you know, money, but I didn't have any on me. And I'm sorry, I didn't cash my check. So I have never seen him again in my life. And I found out later he was going around to everybody he knew and borrowing money, and he left the state. Man, that hurt. But you know what? If you're over the age of 25, you've been hurt, you've been betrayed, and folks, it's only going to multiply. You better learn how to forgive, or else bitterness is going to grow in you, and it's going to trouble you. Go back and read the verse for yourself. It troubles you, not them. It troubles you. We've got to get over this. We've got to learn to forgive. That's point one. This is the closest I'm going to get to an outline tonight. Point one is grieve not. Point two is quench not. I don't know. I can't see the clock, brother. Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh, wow. Good, good. Not that I pay attention, but I want to know where it is. Quench not. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And also, I've asked somebody to read from Psalm 78:14. Who's that? Psalm 78:14. Are you out there? Psalm 78:14? No, 41. Almost did it again, and I'm looking at it. Psalm 78:14. Oh, is that you, brother? Okay, just a second. Save it. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and then I want you to read that, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. What I want to show you is that tonight we looked at grieve not very quickly, grieve not the Holy Spirit, and now tonight we're going to look at quench not, quenching the Holy Spirit. You can, this is hard to believe, you can hinder God. A lot of people don't believe me, but you can, and you can quench the Holy Spirit. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you are the one, you commit the sin that grieves the Holy Spirit. Whether it be a sin of the thought, such as anger, or a sin of the heart, like malice, or if a sin of the tongue, like lying, whatever it is, you are the one who does it, and you sin against God. Now, you can quench the Spirit in yourself, but you can also quench the Spirit in another person. Nobody can make you sin. The devil can't make you sin. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember that old comedian Flip Wilson. Young people are going, huh? Flip Wilson, and you know, that tagline he had, the devil made, somebody already started, the devil made me do it. And that was his tagline, and he got famous using that, and it was in commercials and all over the place, the devil made me do it. It became an excuse for anything that you did wrong, the devil made me do it. Let me tell you something, the devil cannot make you do anything. He can set the table and make it look pretty, but you're the one that sits down and eats at the feast. And so, at any rate, we're going to look at this, quench not, and it says quench not the Holy Spirit. So 1 Thessalonians 5:19, I don't know if I gave you that or not. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 19, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Now, Psalms 78:41. Did you hear that? They turned back, talking about the nation of Israel, and tempted God. And what did they do? They limited the Holy One of Israel. That is absolutely amazing when you think about it. How many of you could arm wrestle God and take him 2 out of 3? Not in a million, never. We just can't do it. But you can still limit God. You see, when it says quench not the Spirit, Brother Gary, the Holy Spirit of God, and you sat in church, you've been under conviction. You're saved. You remember what it was like to be under conviction before you got saved? Man, I was a young boy, a teenager, and I wanted to go to heaven so bad. Most of the time, I didn't want to go to hell. And I wanted to do right by God, and I was not in that good, I was not in a very good church. And they were, and I wanted to go to heaven, so I'd read something in the Bible, do this. And man, I would do it maybe once or twice, and then I would fail. And I'd, I got to do it. And I'd read something else to do. And I was trying to remember what happened. I was the youth department in the church I went to. When I said I was country born, country bred, I was born in a town that's only 300 people population. They had 301 dogs in that town. And at night, you could hear every one of them. But I grew up in a town like that. I went to a church, and the youth department consisted of a gentleman who was trying to do right but had no personality and nothing against him. That's just the way he was. And he would get the Sunday school devotional, the Sunday school, what do we call those things?
Curriculum.
And he would read it like this in a monotone and then ask me what I thought about it, and then he'd read it. That was our youth department. We never had an activity, never did anything. One day we swelled, we tripled, had two other visitors, and there's three of us in a Sunday school class. Had a new teacher, and the guy asked me, said, Neil, if you were to die today, you know, sure you'd go to heaven. And I hung my hand because I knew I wasn't. I knew I was going to hell, and he shared the gospel with me. Folks, you remember when you were under conviction? What was that conviction? That was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, after I've been saved, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Not in an audible voice. If you hear God in an audible voice, would you please make an appointment with Pastor? You need to go talk to him, okay? But you can hear the voice of God. And you can hear God dealing with you. And that is the Holy Spirit. But you can quench that spirit. You can quench the voice of the Spirit of God. It isn't very hard. It's just like this. Or just like this. I'm not listening. Or you ever seen a little kid that doesn't want to listen to you? La, 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 la. They just start making noise and start doing all kinds. You can do that to God. You know what happens if you do that long enough? He just draws away and you have quenched the Spirit. The Bible refers to the Spirit of God often, and figuratively, as a fire. Okay? And so if you want it to quench a fire, you throw cold water on it. Well, you can throw any kind of water on it. Okay? Throw dirt on it. Okay? That's a good way. If you have a kitchen fire, flour, really good to throw on a fire. You quench the fire. You quench the flames. You get the burning to stop. And you can do that. God can deal with you, and you can do that, Brother Kelly. You can quench God's Spirit working within you. That's a dangerous thing to do. Some people think you can't resist God's will, but let me tell you, yes, you can. What is it? What do we mean to be out of God's will? Well, let me ask you this. Was it God's will for Israel to have an earthly king? No, it wasn't. That was not his intent at all. Now, did he allow them to have an earthly king? Yes. But before he allowed them to have an earthly king, didn't God warn them about the consequences of choosing an earthly king? Yes. Absolutely, okay. And then did they choose an earthly king?
Yep.
Absolutely, okay. So at that point, 1 Samuel 8, verse 7, the nation of Israel stepped out of the will of God. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 7. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 7. God never intended, okay, for the nation to have a king other than himself. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, if you reject God, do you think you're out of the will of God? They were out of the will of God, and there were terrible consequences. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They lost the blessing of God, and what the nation of Israel could have become, they never did become because they chose an earthly king. Can God take something bad and use it for good in our lives? Ultimately, yes. But that's a testimony to the goodness and the greatness of God, that even when we voluntarily, stubbornly resist him and get out of his will, he still can get it to conform. But Lord, folks, you don't know how great it could have been had they stayed in the perfect will of God. Listen, the permissible will of God is one thing, and thank God for it, but how much greater to be in the perfect will of God? It really, really is. And if you reject God, there's no way you can be in the will of God. And I'm simply trying to make a point that you can resist God. You know, you got saved, right? Amen. Y'all saved out there tonight? Yeah. Amen. Okay. You know, you didn't have to get saved. I'm not a Calvinist. I can boldly say this book is not a Calvinist book. And I can boldly say God is not a Calvinist. If you don't know what a Calvinist is, Calvinists are the folks who say that God preordained some people for heaven and preordained some people for hell. You cannot resist the will of God. If you are not of the elect, then you are going to hell and you cannot be saved. Hogwash. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, you can be saved. But folks, not only is it God's will for you to be saved, but he has a will for your life. He wants you to perform and do and accomplish. And you can resist him. You can fight against him. Okay? If you get out of the will of God. Somebody has John 13, 17. Who has John 13, 17? Brother Kelly, would you read that, please? If ye know ye these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The point being that I'm trying to make is that you can resist the word of God, the will of God, God himself. You can limit God. You can get out of the will of God. That verse said, if ye know these things, first you have to know them. Okay? And that sometimes, look, not everything in the Bible is black or white. It's a lot more than we sometimes like to think. but there's a lot of things in your life. It's kind of hard to place in the Bible, but there's every topic that deals with every issue of life can be found in the Word of God. But you're going to have to get in there and dig, and sometimes it's going to take some agonizing prayer over scriptures. That, you know, when I was young, I was trying to write a sermon or something, I would come to something, I'd be stuck. So I would go look at a commentary, see what some famous big-name preacher wrote in his commentaries. And you know what, brother? I found the same verses that I was stuck on, they didn't have anything to say either. I mean, they just glossed right. Now, they didn't put in there, I don't know what it says, I don't know what it means, but they just skipped them and went down to the other verses. And after four or five times of that, it dawned on me, hey, you know, there are some things that are kind of hard sometimes in the Christian life, okay? And we need God to teach us. There is no doubt in my mind that I married the woman that God intended for me to marry. Our anniversary is coming up in a few days. Tuesday will be our anniversary. And we will be married 36 years. We're just getting started. We're young. We're just getting started. Only 36 years. We got a long way to go yet. You know something? Nothing. You cannot convince me that it was not the will of God for me to marry Faye. I know it. And you need to be in the will of God. You say, well, how do I know whose God's will is for you married? If you're married, that's the one. Right now. Forget about if it was back then. It is right now. So stay with him. Stay with him. It's the will of God for you to be married to that person now. But we can resist the will of God. We can resist God. Now, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The verse says, first you got to know them. Well, sometimes we always need the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. So we've got to get alone and spend some time with God, agonize with God, and get His help and His guidance. And when He speaks to our hearts, we've got to be willing to say yes. Amen. You can only tell Him no so many times before He says, all right, enough of this. I'm going to go spend my time with somebody who wants to listen to me. And you can back the Holy Spirit. No, you'll never lose Him. The Holy Spirit indwells you. But you can back Him into the corner of your life and build a wall and not ever listen to Him. But if you do that, you're going to be cold and dead inside and you're going to be a miserable Christian. Okay? As a Christian, if you can live in the world and enjoy it, you need to check your salvation. I didn't say you couldn't live in the world, but if you can live in the world and enjoy it, you better check your salvation. Okay? In order to heed God's word, we must first know God's word, and it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us God's words. And, you know, some things in life, you know, as far as relating to the will of God, are not black and white, and we need His help. That's where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, comes in and teaches us the specifics of God's will for our lives. Okay, the specifics of God's will. And that requires an honest, soul-searching under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The worst thing you can do is to search your own heart. How do I know that? Because the heart is desperately wicked above all else. Who can know it? Your heart will lie to you. Your heart will tell you that you're good when you're not. Your heart will tell you it's okay to do this because you really want to do it. But if you compare it to the Word of God, you know it's not okay. So that's why you don't spend any time comparing it to the Word of God. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will lie to you. What David was praying about, he asked God to search me, O Lord, and see. Try me and see if there be any wicked way. And so under the direction of the Holy Spirit, we can get God's working within us to teach us His word, to teach us His will. He can direct us, but only if we are willing, only if we will spend. And that's going to require some time. You know how the average person prays about something concerning the will of God? And it's like this, Father, this is what I really want to do. Is it okay if I do that? Thank you very much. And let's go on to point two. Let me pray for Brother Kelly. They really need to start working in his heart, Lord. Now, I've been noticing something. Wait a minute. The way to pray about that is come back here to point one. Father, do you really want me to do this? And then just shut up and listen. How many of you have ever heard that when you read the Bible, that's God speaking to you, and when you pray, that's you speaking to God? You ever heard that? Or anything akin to that? I don't take issue with that except for this. It's a true two-way street both times. How many of you get on the telephone and only one of you talk? Okay? No, when you read the Bible, God speaks to your heart, no doubt about it. But man, don't you ever cry over the verses? Don't you ever, man, that song we sang brought a tear to my eye, Victory in Jesus. I love that song. It brought a tear to my eye. I wasn't expecting that. It wasn't staged. It wasn't planned. All I know is I'm wiping tears away from my eyes because I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. And I don't deserve it. But also when we pray, that's the communications. I talk to God, but God also talks to me. But He's not going to talk to you if you're doing all the talking. You won't be able to hear His voice. And when you have something that you want to know, is this the will of God? You have to be willing. Now listen, you have to lay it out, and you have to be willing to accept God's verdict. And if God says yes, wonderful. And if God says no, wonderful. In other words, you have to be neutral. Now, that's hard to do when there's something you really want, amen? You want this. You want to do this. And you're praying and you're asking God, please, Lord, can I do this? Will you bless this? Don't pray that way. Pray, Lord, is this what you want? Because that's the only way you're going to get His blessings anyways. If you do something that's against His will, He's not going to bless it. And so you pray and you lay it out before God. And this is so hard at times to be neutral. That means, Lord, if you say yes, I agree. Lord, if you say no, I agree. In my heart of hearts, I want it to be yes. But if you say no, I'm agreeing with you and I'm not going to. And then let it go. Give it up. Move on. But that's going to require time. I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about anybody out here in this room. Let me talk about myself for a minute. I don't spend enough time in prayer agonizing over God's will in every area of my life. That's a fault of mine. Would you pray for me? But we need to spend the time that it takes until we get a definite answer from God. But if you quench that spirit, you're going to be the great loser. And you can do that by not yielding to God. You see, God deals with you, and if you would continue to yield to him, then he'll give you more light. And he gives you more light, you can know more about his will. Did I give somebody John 7:17? Would you read it, Brother Duffy? John 7:17?
If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
If any man will do his will. The key there is will. If any man will do his will. You want to know the will of God? You have to be willing to do it before you know what it is. Amen. See, we don't get memos from heaven before our death. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Accept it. I'll do that, Lord. Get another memo from heaven. It comes down. Oh, no, Lord, this is not right. Work on it. You don't do that. God is not your secretary. God is God. God is sovereign. God is the one who is in charge. And he issues edicts. He doesn't issue requests. And he tells us. And folks, we have to be willing to do it if you want to know what it is. But we have to be willing to do it before we know what it is he wants us to do. And if he gives us more light and we yield, then we can obey the word of God. So here, I'll wrap it up very quickly here. Well, at least I'll wrap it up. Okay, he just added 5 minutes to the sermon. Blame him, all right? To say yes is to add fuel to the burning of God's word within you. Amen. To say no is to quench the fire of the Holy Spirit within you. And you can quench the Spirit by saying no to God. Again, nobody can make you sin. Only you can sin against God. Nobody can make you sin. So you can grieve the Holy Spirit within you, but you cannot grieve the Holy Spirit within another person, because you can't make them sin either. However, you can quench the Holy Spirit working within you, and you can quench the Holy Spirit working in somebody else. Quench not the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit working in another person. Many, many years ago, I'll give you a couple of illustrations, we'll wrap it up here. When I was kind of new to this thing called soul winning, so that would have been 38 years ago. And there was a lady in the church, a couple in the church, and the lady and the husband went soul winning, and they had different times of soul winning. And the wife, God was blessing, and she was seeing people saved and bringing people to church. The husband never saw anyone saved. And somehow he got a revelation that it wasn't proper for a lady to go soul winning. He stopped his wife from going soul winning. He quenched the spirit within. I took a group of kids when I was assistant pastor at Victory in Wilcox. I took a group of kids to camp, summer camp. And there was a young boy in there, terrible house, terrible home life, and single mother, just terrible, terrible drugs and all, alcohol and all that, and abuse. And he's about 12, 13 years of age. And during that camp, God changed him. It was like a light coming on. You know what I mean? When God gets a hold of a person and you could see it. And he was so excited. And I remember when I pulled up in the van to drop him off, I got out, walked around the van, opened up the back, started getting the luggage out. He was running down the sidewalk. We're talking about a 12, 13-year-old boy running to his mommy. He was running to his mom to tell him, tell her what God had done in her life. And she threw the door open and just started shouting and hollering at him and told him some things that he was doing wrong and they're going to stop. And you could see this young boy as he was so happy. You could literally see him. He goes, Mom, Mom, Mom. You could see him melt. And what did she do? She quenched the spirit within him. Fast forward, and the story is not good. We won't go there. She quenched the spirit within him. I led a young man, by that I mean a 19, 20-year-old man, the first time that he got a job, he was, I think, from Pennsylvania or somewhere, came out west and was working in Wilcox. He got saved. We were discipling him. He got on fire. He surrendered to the mission field. And he was telling his folks what God was doing in his life. And lo and behold, his folks showed up on his doorstep one day. I was out there visiting, and I could tell the moment they stepped out of that door, they did not like me. They did not like what God was doing in their son. And it wasn't very long before he quit his job and moved back home, totally out of the will of God. What did they do? They took a bucket of water and quenched the spirit. And the Bible says, don't quench the spirit in you. In other words, folks, we like firemen, but don't be a Holy Ghost fireman. Don't quench the fire of the Holy Spirit in another person. Instead, be a Holy Ghost pyromaniac. Feed that fire within yourself. Read the Word of God. Encourage one another. Moses encouraged Joshua in doing God's will. It's late. I won't turn to Deuteronomy. You can turn Deuteronomy 1:38, Deuteronomy 3:28. These were verses when Moses was not going in the promised land. The nation's ready to go in. Joshua's going to take over. And Moses, he encouraged Joshua to do right. He encouraged Joshua to do the will of God. What was he doing? He was adding fuel to the Holy Ghost. Malachi 3:16, and we are done. Malachi 3:16, please. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Then they that feared the Lord did what? Spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Can you imagine getting to heaven and reading one of your prayers? What an exciting day that's going to be. And yet, these were folks who had a reverential trust and a fear in God. And they spake often one to another. You know what that means? That means between Sunday school and church, they weren't talking about basketball, football, hockey, almost said Golden Globes. I wondered why you sat on the back row, brother. Probably one of those Chicago Bear fans, aren't you? Vikings something, yeah, okay. And, or Sports Illustrated, or gardening, I love the garden, or hunting, I love the hunt, or you name it. They would speak, hey, you know what God did in my heart this week? Hey, do you know what God did for me today, brother? And they were talking one to another, bragging on God, telling them how good God is. And what were they doing? They were adding fuel to the Holy Ghost, working within that person. And they saw the goodness of God. And they invited other church members out for dinner and over to their house. And they became interactive in their life. And when they got there to their house to eat, they didn't have rehashed pastor. You know what that is, right? They didn't talk down the church. They talked up. They talked up the pastor. They talked up Jesus. And they encouraged one another. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be helping people walk closer to God. We need to encourage people because we live in a negative world. And we're dumped on all the time. We have been betrayed by this world. We have been betrayed by friends. We have been lied about. Satan beats us up all the time. He's a liar and he's an accuser. He's accusing us to God of doing things we haven't done. The problem is sometimes he's right. And so we need the mercy of God upon our life. And just let me encourage you to do this thing, if you would. Go back and read Ephesians again, that portion that we started with. And then maybe get, when you get down there and talking about being kind and tender-hearted, maybe we can become a little more forgiving of those who have offended us. And then maybe we can encourage people. So if some bus kid gets saved, don't poo-poo that. Amen. Encourage, wow, exciting! Woo, when are you going to get baptized? You know, make it exciting for them. And us old folks, we need some encouragement too. So let's talk Jesus up. And let's encourage people to do right. And when somebody makes a step in the right direction, no matter how slight, let's be their cheerleader. Okay? Instead of being the prosecutor. Oh, this is what they did. No. Let's be a cheerleader for them. Keep it up, my brother. Way to go, sister. And let's be a Holy Ghost pyromaniac for the Lord. Amen. For the light.
Thank you, Brother Neil. Quench not, grieve not. That's a great thought for tonight, amen. Yeah. And what a challenge for the midweek. No, tomorrow, or even leaving here tonight, you can go right on and apply.
Amen.
Because you'll be faithful. Amen. And that's the certain what we need on a Wednesday night. Thank you, Brother Neil, again, for the message tonight. Just quick, a few announcements. Again, continue to pray for Pastor.
Amen.
Recover. Pray for those that are still down that you know that are sick. Pray to God bless. And that, for Miss Beth, she's going to be leaving out here, going to Alaska. Don't forget that. Be praying for her as well. And we look forward to, if you would, on Saturday, to be here, going out door knocking on Saturday. And Lord Terry.